So far, so good. Training camp, and the preseason decisions are coming down the road. We know that. Those are tough times for all of us in the personnel and coaching business, but it's part of the game, part of the league rules, and we'll try to do the best we can. But it's not an easy time, and I'm sure that you guys have been able to observe that because most of you have been around the block with the Green Bay Packers, and you understand what, it's a hard time. Okay, question.
Hey, Ted, I would think that evaluating number three, number four quarterbacks might be difficult because maybe there's mismatching and changing of personnel and protection issues, but what do you look for when you're looking at those number quarterbacks?
Oh, just common sense stuff. I try not to get too complicated because I'm not a quarterback by trade. I'm no expert, but running the team, asserting themselves, being a leader, probably that angle a little bit more than the physical, throwing it and doing all that. I certainly watch those aspects of these players as well, but probably a short answer like that.
Mike said the other night after the game when Taysom was in for his drive, normally you don't see teams pressure a lot late in games, but Philly did, which I thought he handled it really well. How helpful is that for your evaluation of a player when you get to see him in a spot that maybe you probably thought you wouldn't?
Oh, it's perfect. The personnel thing, those of us that are scouts by trade look at a play in a preseason game in terms of, how the prospect's doing, how's the guy running, is this guy running fast, is he closing ground on the receiver. Coaches look at it like, is he smart, is he doing the right thing, is he in the right position, and that sort of thing. So you have different evaluators evaluating the same people, but with different circumstances in mind.
Ted, Callahan was such a great story last year for us from our perspective because, where he came from and what he did. You got Michael Clark, who's, spent most of his time as a basketball player, as the 1 year of football. As a scout, I know you have to stay unbiased, so you can't root for those guys necessarily. But is that kind of is that the holy grail of scouting? Like, I understand, picking Aaron Rodgers and stuff are important to your legacy, but when you unearth those gems, what is that like for a talent evaluator and a scout? How do you view that?
Well, when it all works together, it's a really marvelous feeling. I think I've said this before, the first day of rookie minicamp is always the most harrowing time for us because, first of all your draft choices and all the players that you've signed as free agents come walking out there, and you're hoping that they look the way they're supposed to look. And because you haven't seen physically necessarily everybody that you have, and so you have to go through that scary moment. But once you're past that, then it just gets to be football. And I think it's, like I said, we continue as personnel people to look at it like we're scouting. But at the same time, we're watching them as people and teammates and all the things that come together to make and form a team to see if they have those attributes to contribute in that regard.
I'm just going to throw out names as an example, but how hard is it to evaluate a Deagle who hasn't been out there yet or a Dupree who you've seen for 2 weeks who may not get back out there again, and how to figure out whether they're 53 worthy?
Yeah, it happens every year. It's part of the grand old game of professional football. You go to camp, you compete, and at the end of the camp and the competition, then you move on. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
to Jason's question about the diamond and the rough kind of guys.
Jason.
If, you know, I'm going to use Michael Clark as an example just because, but I'm not talking specifically about him, but he only played 1 year of football. So when you got a guy like that, maybe he's not quite as good as player A, but when you're making final decisions on guys, again, just generally speaking, is you sometimes look at, you know, he's player B is not as good as player, but maybe player B can, if you give him some time, maybe he will get to that level. How much is, of that is involved?
Right. I'll speak of those things in general terms, not about any of our players. Common sense says that part of the evaluation is where they are now, you know, how much can they contribute now? Part of the evaluation is how much can they contribute a month from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now. So all that stuff you've got to project. Not necessarily right all the time, but you do have to make a little bit more projection for those players that haven't necessarily played as much football in their lifetime as other players.
Ted, in the spring of 05, you lost a pair of Pro Bowl guards, and it took your line a couple of years to get back to the level I'm sure you wanted it to be at. You've lost a couple of Pro Bowl guards again here in the last 12 months, but you seem better equipped maybe going into this year to keep your line play where it's been. Did you learn anything from that 05 experience that's helped you this time coming through with replacing Josh and TJ?
Nothing other than it's bad when you lose players. We didn't learn anything. Certainly we hope that we get better and grow and mature as personnel guys and managers of men here. And I think we do. I think you anticipate things a little bit more. Sometimes when you're counting in the rosters, and you're counting, okay, we've got 13 offensive linemen, 14th guy is not able to practice, 15th guy is not able to practice. So does that mean we should get another one in here to help take the load off for practicing, you know, the next opponent's offense? You know, things like that, questions like that, making certain changes in your roster to help adjust to changes in your roster. If that makes sense.
Have you gotten a situation where you have two guys who are fairly equal, or one is better at his position than the other guy, but the other guys play special teams, and the one guy maybe doesn't play special teams, but his upside is a little better? And, you know, if you pick the guy who's better upside at his position, then maybe you're leaving the special teams a little short. Mm-hmm. Do you run into that
sure
situation?
Oh, yeah. There are all kinds of pluses and minuses. And with each individual player, you go, all right, player A is this, he's this, he's this, he's this. And you go down the list and you go player B, you know, he's this, he's this. He's not this, but he's this and this. Yeah, that's with everybody on every decision. These are, like I say, you can't imagine how difficult these decisions are. And especially for those of you that can appreciate our appreciation and how far some of these guys have gone. But that's the way we do it. You know, we say, all right, he has these traits, but he's lacking in these traits. What does that mean? And obviously, we want to field the best football team we can. We want to field it in the first week of September this year, and we want that same group of people to be that best group at the end of December.
But you want that the following year and the year after that as well.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't have to consider what the upside is on the guy.
Yeah, you have to consider age, however much that you have in the future with these guys. You have to be a little bit of a soothsayer.
Any more, please?
Ted, as I'm sure you're aware, decorum for the national anthems has become a topic of conversation around the league over the past year. Would you support a player who chose to protest by sitting through the national anthem?
This is a personal, I view this as something that you're asking me from a personal standpoint, not what I would do, but what I would feel about a particular player if he made such and such action or he failed to make such and such action. This is a free country, in my opinion, and free people can do what they like.
Are you able to separate your personal preference for how to approach national anthem to what players on your team might do if they feel differently?
Sure.
Ted, when it comes to making decisions that are character-related with your guys, I feel like during our time covering you, there's been, you know, you went and got Corin Robinson when you needed some help at wide receiver. You gave Johnny Jolly some opportunities. You gave Cole Mayerla a chance here. And then you had LaTroy, who obviously you guys parted ways with last week. When it comes to making character decisions, do you look at guys that maybe have some addiction issues differently than maybe some guys that maybe have some other character issues? That, and I'm not saying that anything is okay or not okay, but you seem to be a little bit more willing to give those guys a chance to, you know, make things right and have an opportunity than, you know, if it's a guy that is involved with something a little more troubling, you tend to shy away from. Do you have a philosophy there, or is that something that you feel like you look at or no?
No, I don't think so. I think that's probably case by case. And we gnash our teeth over all those questions and answers that you have to come up with. And you know, I'm no wizard, but we try to do the best we can. That's just about as good an answer as I can give you.